Excuse me. Good morning. This morning, I'm so glad you've joined us as we continue in our series called Resurrected Life. We started on Easter and we explored how the power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and how that same power is available to come and live in us and how that power transforms our lives. And so we've been exploring what does that look like to have God's Spirit do a transformative work in your life. And really, when I think about it, I know that for myself, I need God's transforming power to change me. When I look at my life and the different areas of my life, I know that there's places where there's brokenness. I know there's areas where I need to be transformed, where I need to be changed, to be different, to be better. And so I'm excited that the Spirit does do this work in us. I know that for me, when I look at the different areas of my life, I think about being a father, and I know that there's work that the Spirit needs to be done. As I look at my life as a father, I know I need to be sometimes more patient. Maybe some of you fathers can relate. I know I sometimes need to be kinder. And when I look also at being a husband, I know that there's work to be done by the Spirit. I know that I need to become more compassionate. I need to become more full of gratitude for the wife that I have. And when I look at even God placing me in a position of leadership in the church, I know that there's work to be done, to be a leader who is humble, to be a leader that is full of wisdom and leads well. And I would bet that you're here this morning, and if you're honest with yourself, that you would say there are areas of your life that need some transforming. There are areas of your life that need transforming, whether it's as a parent, whether it's as a son, as a daughter. That's an area that I know needs transforming in my own life too. How do I be a son who honors his father and his mother? And for me, that I don't know where you're at in your life, but for me, sometimes that's difficult because my family life wasn't always super easy. It had some bumps along the road growing up. And so now as an adult, how do I honor my mother and father? I know that for each of us, there are different areas of our life, different struggles we have. And I bet that many of us would be able to relate to Paul when he writes, "The things I don't want to do, I keep doing them." Anybody ever had that? You're like, okay, I got to stop doing that. And then, oh no, I'm doing it again. Maybe it's just me. Kind of doubt it though. Or maybe Paul goes on to say, the things I really want to do. Okay, I need to do this. I know that God would want me to live this way. I need to do that. And then I find sometimes I don't do them. Oh yeah, I was going to do that. I really wanted to do that. Why didn't I do that? And I find that I'm often can really resonate with what Paul says there. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing them. And the things that I want to do, sometimes I just don't do them, even though I know that I should. And so I think it's not much of a stretch for us to recognize we need to be transformed. There are areas in our life that we need God to do a transforming work in our life. But how does that come about? How do we become people who are transformed? Well, I believe, as we're going to explore today, that life transformation comes about when we are people who are led by God's Spirit. But how do we do that? How do we become a people who are led by God's Spirit? I mean, that sounds nice, but How does one exactly go about that? How does that work? Well, this morning, I want to explore four different case studies from the book of Acts where we see that God, through His Spirit, leads people, and we see people who are Spirit-led. And I think what we're going to see as we look at these four different case studies is that there's really two steps to being Spirit-led people. That's it. I mean, sometimes I'm not always the most handy person, and so when I, you know, get the IKEA furniture and I have to set it up or whatever, I need to make sure I follow those steps. And there's like 5 million steps in making IKEA furniture. I don't know if they could make that more complicated than they do sometimes. All these fancy fasteners you need special tools for, right? This is not like that. You don't need a giant instructional book for this. You can remember there's just two steps that we're going to look at today that we're going to see shine through in each one of these case studies. So these case studies are in the book of Acts, as I said. The first one is Philip, and that's you can find that if you want to read that story for yourself later. I'm going to tell parts of the story, and we're going to look at parts of the scripture, but if you want to read that story in its entirety, or any of these stories in their entirety, you can find them in these chapters. And then we're going to look at Saul and Ananias in Acts 9, and Cornelius and Peter in Acts chapter 10, and the church in Antioch, finally, in Acts chapter 13. And as we begin, the first thing that I want us to see, the first step that we need to take if we want to be Spirit-led people, is simply this: listening to the Spirit. Listening to the Spirit leads to being led by the Spirit. I mean, that makes logical sense, right? If you're going to follow anyone's leadership, the first thing that you have to do is listen to what they're asking of you, right? I mean, if you're at work and you don't listen to whatever your employer tells you to do, I'm guessing they're not going to think that you're doing a very good job of following their leadership, right? Or kids, if you're in school and your teacher tells you the instructions that you're supposed to do in your class, and you don't listen, do you think that you're probably going to do an effective job on the assignment you're being given? Probably not. And so there's this reality that what in life, that if we're to allow someone to lead us, we first of all have to listen. And we're going to see that as we go through the stories. So the first story that I said that we're going to look at is Philip. Now Philip, he is told by the Spirit that he is to go and start walking down this road towards Gaza. It's a desert road, and so he starts walking down this road, and as he walks down this road, he sees a chariot. And listen to this. I believe that the Spirit can speak to each of us, because the Spirit is a person, has personality, and He speaks into our lives. And so notice in capital letters what it says. It says, the Spirit told Philip. The Spirit told him, go to that chariot and stay near it. Go to that chariot and stay near it. Very simple instructions. Go to that chariot and stay near it. And so this is the first step for Philip, is that he has to listen to what the Spirit is asking him. And so he goes, and so we're going to see later what Philip does. But the first thing, we'll come back to the story in a few minutes here, but the first thing that we notice is that the Spirit speaks into Philip's life and gives him very specific instructions. If we look at Acts chapter 9, we see this story of Saul and Ananias. And Saul, he was actually someone who was very anti-Christian movement. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and he thought he needed to do everything in his power to stop this followers of Jesus movement. He needed to somehow put an end to it. And so he actually started persecuting the church, rounding up people who were followers of Jesus, putting them in jail. Some of them were killed, tortured. He was all about trying to quash followers of Jesus. But as he is walking down a road, he all of a sudden has this vision from the Spirit, and he hears this voice that says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Which would be enough to terrify anyone, I would say. And he's like, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus, who you've been persecuting." And so we notice that here, that the Spirit can even speak into the people's lives who are opposed to following Jesus. And so then the Spirit then has to, Saul is blind, and he's told to go on into the city and see this man called Ananias. And so now the Spirit speaks into Ananias' life, and he says, "Yeah, you need to go and talk to Saul." But here's the deal. Maybe you've done this. I've done this at times in my life. He starts to say, "Are you sure? Are you sure, Holy Spirit? Are you sure, God? Are you sure this is a good idea? See, Saul, he's been rounding up those Christians, and now you want me to go talk to the guy and pray for him? Like, this seems like a trap. Are you sure this is good?" Holy Spirit says, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And this is what it says. It says, "The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. And the Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Paul. For he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.'" So again, we see it says the Lord told him. Again, the Holy Spirit directly speaking into someone's life. And we're going to see what Ananias does with that in a little bit. Then we look at Peter. Peter is up on the rooftop, and he's having a time of prayer where he's praying and meditating and just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, he has this vision. And in this vision, down comes this white sheet filled with all the different types of animals that the Jewish people were not supposed to eat. And the Spirit says to him, "Go, kill, and eat." And again, he starts arguing with the Spirit. And he says, "Certainly not. I've never ate any unclean thing. I'm not gonna do that." And the Spirit says, "What I've made clean is clean. Why should you call something unclean that I've made clean?" And this vision was preparing him to start accepting people that he may not have associated with. And so then the Spirit says to him, it says, while Peter was still thinking about his vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Spirit speaks directly into Peter's life as well. And then we see in Acts chapter 13, there's a gathering of some of the leaders of the church in Antioch. And it says, "Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Again, the Spirit this time is speaking to a group of people and gives very specific instructions. And so, a few observations then from our case study so far. The first is this: many of the people who the Spirit spoke to, they were actively pursuing God in prayer, fasting, or worship. We saw this with the group in the church in Antioch. We saw this with Peter, who was on the roof, praying and worshiping God. Many of them had carved out space in their life where they were actively pursuing God and wanting to listen and to hear from Him. And because of that, the Spirit was able to speak in to their lives. The second thing is that we notice is that many of the people the Spirit spoke to had a posture of listening to the Spirit. We see that with Philip. He had a posture. It doesn't say that he was in prayer worship, but it says he heard from the Spirit. He was anticipating that the Spirit would speak into his life. And so when the Spirit does, he responds and he starts walking down that road. And that's when the Spirit spoke further instruction into his life. Are we people that have a posture of listening to the Spirit? People who are aware of the Spirit's presence in our day-to-day lives. The next thing, which I've already made note of, is that the Holy Spirit spoke to both followers of Jesus as well as unbelievers. A few weeks ago, many of you may have come up and put a name on the cross of somebody that you were praying for, that God would do a work in their lives, that they would choose to follow Jesus. And you actually committed to praying specifically that God would give you an opportunity or someone an opportunity to speak the truth of God's word into their life, that they would hear the good news of Jesus, that he came, that he died again and he rose, and now that he offers us life and relationship with God. I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit goes before you in that. He's already speaking and at work in the lives of those people. And so it's the work of the Spirit that is going to change those people and bring them to Jesus as we continue to pray, as we continue to look for opportunities. So know that the Spirit is at work, even if you haven't seen it yet, even if you haven't had the opportunity that you maybe were looking for or asking for or praying for, know that the Spirit is at work in those people's lives. And finally, that the words of the Spirit that the Spirit spoke were either words of truth, something to change the way that those people thought about things, or they were invitations to join him in mission, or sometimes they were both. As we saw with Peter, he has the vision to see that things that he may have thought were unclean, God was actually changing the way that he thought about that. And then from that word of truth, an invitation of mission comes to him. And so we notice in these stories that we're looking at that the words the Spirit spoke were either words of truth or invitations to join him in mission. And so before we go on to the next step, so the first step is listening. Before we go on to step two, I'm going to do something that maybe is a little bit unorthodox or different than what we may be used to. Joel's going to come up, here he is, and he's going to just play quietly in the background. And what we're going to do is we're just going to take 2 minutes. We're just going to quiet our hearts, push away any of the distractions, things you might be thinking about or daydreaming about. And we're just going to push that aside for the minute. We're going to just calm ourselves before the Lord. And we're just going to ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would speak something into our lives. We're just going to take 2 minutes. We just ask that if you aren't comfortable with this and you don't want to do it, that's fine. You don't have to do it. But we just ask that you just stay quiet out of respect for those that want to participate. But I would encourage you just to take a couple minutes just to ask the Spirit, what do you want to say to me this morning? What is it that you want to speak into my life this morning? And so I'm just going to be quiet and I'm going to allow the Spirit to speak into your life for a couple minutes. as you wrap up your time just listening to the Holy Spirit, we want to move into what is the second step then? If the first step is listening to the Spirit, what's the second step to being led by the Spirit? The second step is also quite simple. Being led by the Spirit requires being obedient to the Spirit. I mean, in the same context of being led in other settings, if you were to listen to what your boss asked you to do at work, but you didn't do it, how would that go over? Probably not so well, right? Kids, you've probably experienced this. If you listen to your parents, but you don't do what they say, how pleased are they about that? Probably not so much, right? And so the reality is that if we just listen to people who are supposed to be leading us, if we just hear what they say, but we don't actually do it, it's not very effective. It doesn't make a difference. And it's the same in our lives. If we truly want to be transformed by the work of the Spirit, if we want to become people whose lives are transformed, it's not enough simply to listen. We actually need to be obedient to what the Spirit is calling us to in our lives, whether it's a word of truth that we need to affect on our lives, or it's a call to mission. We need to be obedient to that. So let's have a look at our stories and see what the responses were of those who heard from the Spirit. What were their responses? This is what it says about Philip. So you remember he was told by the Spirit to go and be near the chariot. So it says Philip ran up to the chariot. He ran up to it. And he says to the guy, "Hey, notice you're reading something. What you reading?" And he says, "Oh yeah, I'm reading this prophet of Isaiah." He says, "Oh yeah, do you understand that?" And he says, "No, I don't understand it. How can I understand it unless there's someone to explain it?" He said, "Oh, I could probably help you out there. Would you like to come up in the chariot? I thought you'd never ask." You know, running next to that chariot was probably pretty winding. Hopefully he'd done some exercise and training to do that, you know. But he gets invited up into the chariot. And he explains to this Ethiopian man who Jesus was from the scripture he was reading from what is now the book of Isaiah in what we call the Old Testament in the Bible. And he explains who Jesus is. And this Ethiopian man says, "Yeah, I believe. Is there anything to keep me from being baptized?" He says, "No." They find water. They dunk him. He's now a follower of Jesus. He goes back to Ethiopia, a follower of Jesus. And we see that because Philip was obedient to the Spirit that day, that Ethiopian man's life was transformed, and the gospel now had an opportunity to go to Ethiopia. See, mission is always more effective when it is a response to listening to the Spirit rather than just our own ideas of what we think makes sense or are good. I mean, it's not wrong or bad to strategize. We do it all the time, and that's not a bad thing. But do we listen to the Spirit and hear from Him what the Spirit wants us to do when it comes to the mission? Because I think most of us, if not all of us here, would say we want to do something with our lives that matters, something that makes a difference, something that has long-lasting impact, something that would leave a legacy for those that come behind. If we want our lives to count for something, if we want our lives to have eternal impact, then the most effective way we can do that is to listen to the Spirit and then respond to what the Spirit calls us to. We notice Ananias, this is his response. It says, he went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Spirit." And he is. He's healed and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And Saul, who we later goes by the name of Paul, he goes on to share the message of Jesus all throughout parts of Asia and Europe, and plants churches all over the place, and is one of the first to go out and do mission with those who are non-Jewish as well. Incredible. He played a hand in you being a follower of Jesus, though many years ago, because he spread the word of Jesus, because he believed that Jesus was for more than just the Jews, that Jesus was for the world and transformed the world. All because Ananias was obedient when the Spirit told him to do something, even though at first he was a little bit unsure. Peter, it says, he went down and said to them, "And I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And they explained to him, "We were told to bring you because we want to hear the message of how we can be saved." And so Peter goes with them, and an entire household, it says, all the different family members, it says that he gathered all his family members, all his servants, everybody, and they heard the message of Jesus. And they almost all gave their lives to Jesus. Again, we see effective mission correlates with listening to the Spirit and being obedient to the Spirit. Finally, we see the church in Antioch, and this is what it says about them. It says, "So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off, them being Paul and Barnabas." And Paul and Barnabas, Paul is the man we were just referring to earlier, and this is the beginning of one of their missionary journeys to go out and to share the gospel with those all through Asia and Europe. And so the missional impact of that is profound. God does incredible things when his people are willing to listen and be obedient. It's a very simple formula, but it's so effective, listening and being obedient. So with that in mind, I want to leave you with two questions that I want you this week to wrestle to the ground, so to speak. I want you to think through and wrestle with these questions. And the first is this: what steps can you take to have a posture of listening to the Holy Spirit in your life? Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. A couple of things that I've tried to do in my life to make a posture of listening to the Holy Spirit is that every Friday morning, I try to spend the morning prayer and worship and listening to the Holy Spirit. And I do it by cleaning the house because I don't sit still very well, as some of you probably noticed from me being up here. I don't sit still very well, so my mind focuses actually better if I'm doing something. If I'm just sitting still, my mind starts daydreaming about this and that, and I have a hard time focusing on listening to the Spirit. So that's what I do. I spend the morning cleaning bathrooms and fun stuff like that. That might not be what you choose to do, but that's what I do, and I just spend the time just listening to what God has for me for the coming week. And that's one of the ways that I've made a posture of listening to the Holy Spirit in my life. Another of the things that I've done, though, is because I can't always carve out big chunks of time every day like I do on Friday morning, I have started to just become aware of God's presence throughout my day. So I'll be driving back from dropping my kids off of school, and I'll say, "God, what do you have for me today? What is it that you're calling me today? What is it that you want to speak into my life as I'm driving?" You could maybe try that as you drive to work. "God, what do you have for me? How do you want me to honor you and to reflect you in my workplace this morning?" And driving home, sometimes I do this when I walk home now that Amanda is out of university. And as I'm walking home, I'm asking the Spirit, "God, how can I honor you in how I'm going to interact with my family as I go home? How can I honor you? What is a way that you want me, that I can work on being a better father or a better husband?" And I just ask the Spirit that. And the Spirit guides me. And over the years, I've noticed that if I look back at who I was 10 years ago compared to who I am now, God has done a work. He's still got a lot of work left to do, but he's done a work. And so I just encourage you, what steps can you take this week to have a posture of listening to the Holy Spirit in your life? What can you do to make yourself available to what the Spirit wants to speak into your life? And then the second question because the first step was listening. The second question has to do with obedience. And so I want you to think about this week, and maybe the invitation came in your time this morning that you had quietly listening to the Spirit as Joel played. And that's this: is there an invitation the Holy Spirit is inviting you into that you need to respond in obedience to? Has the Holy Spirit spoken something into your life and you know there's an invitation, something he's called you to join him in mission, or an area of your life he's called you to work on with him? What invitation is the Holy Spirit inviting you into that you need to respond in obedience to? I want you to think that through this week. What is the Holy Spirit calling me to that I need to be obedient to? And so the worship team is going to come at this time, and I'm just going to pray, and then the worship team is going to come and lead us in a song of worship. But just think through that this week. How can I create space in my life for the Spirit to speak and for me to listen? And then what invitations do I need to respond to? Let's just pray together. Jesus, I thank you so much that you didn't leave us to just simply guess and wonder what you want to do in our lives, God. But I thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit to come and live in us and to speak into our lives. And I pray for each one here, God, that they would hear from your Spirit this week. And I pray that your Spirit would give them the courage and the boldness that they need to be obedient to whatever you're calling them to, whether it be big or small, that they would have the courage to respond and say yes to you and walk in obedience to what you're calling them to in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.